In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is a day filled with memories from the past and filled with a misunderstanding of things that may take the rest of our lives, all of us, to sort out completely. What is it that occurs on this day? What is it that is happening with the birth of the Son of God? The uncreated one begins a new life. Those are words that take time to think about. The uncreated one, the one who created the heavens and the earth, begins a new life. Now this life is a life that is new. It is new for God, and it is new for man. God has never lived the life that He begins in Bethlehem. Why does He begin this new life? It's not so that He might be changed, but so the changeless one, the one who is the place where all good and all holiness and all life originate from and come down into the world. He doesn't need to change. But He comes and He begins what is really and truly a new life. Begins life as a little child, as an infant, as a baby. So that the lives of those who live that kind of life, a human life, all of us human beings that He has created, so that their lives might be made like His. So that our lives might be fulfilled with the love and joy and peace and fullness of life that all of us desire so much. That's why He is born. He is born in order to become one of us and make us able to call upon Him, because we need Him in order to be ourselves. We need the one who makes it possible for us to call on Him as our Father. St. Paul says, we heard him this morning in his letter to the Galatians say, you are sons, and by sons, when St. Paul says that, he means what we mean when we say sons or daughters. That was understood. You are sons and daughters of the Most High. Now, that doesn't mean that we're already gods and can go out with the individual and isolated authority of gods and live our lives from ourselves. That's not what it means. Even God Himself, the Most High, is not like that. That way of misunderstanding ourselves and at the same time misunderstanding the very nature of God is part of the problem. But St. Paul says, you are sons of the Most High, and he is referring to what we are meant to be. This is what it means to be a human being. We are meant to be sons and daughters of the Most High. And so, St. Paul said, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into your hearts so that you might call upon Him as Abba. And he uses the Aramaic word, the word for Father that Jesus Christ Himself used. Jesus, who taught us to pray to God, our Father. And St. Paul is saying that God comes into the world, the Son of God, God Himself, comes into the world in order to bring the Spirit of Himself as a Son into our hearts so that we can call out to God as Father, with the love of a son, a daughter, to their father. That's why he has come. Because we need that. We need that. Now this day, the Nativity of Christ, the 25th of December. As I say, it brings back all of those memories. In my own case, I am very fortunate in the father that I had. And I wish my brothers and sisters were here to hear this Christmas sermon this morning. Because what I've just said would be a very controversial remark in a gathering of my brothers and sisters. There are six of us. And I've had some very interesting conversations with all of them individually and together about our father. When our father died, and I'll be his age when he died, 71, so 6 years I'll be his age. When he died, we were devastated. There are no words for any of us to put into what he meant to us. I mean, our mother was our mother. That's one thing, and that's a wonderful and a great thing. But our father, all of us, kept, I think, throughout the rest of our lives, some of that sense that you have when you're 3 years old and your father walks across the room and the earth shakes. This incredible figure who loves you in a way that terrifies you never told us that he loved us. Not his generation. They don't do that. They didn't. He was a working man. He worked hard. 12-hour days and more, and tried to get as many of them as he could every week, and hopefully on weekends too, because that was time and a half and double time. And that's how he lived his life for more than 30 years. He worked on a production line. He was a tire buffer. You take large tires, they did big tires at B.F. Goodrich in Oaks, put them around your neck, and you make them nice and the way they're supposed to be. Like sanding the edges of the tire with a tire buffer to make that tire look like a tire supposed to look in a showroom. And he did one after another for 12 hours every day for over 30 years. That's the kind of man he was. Built like a rock. And that man, after 12-hour days, and numerous of them, would come home on Christmas Eve when I was a little child. My brothers and sisters were all very small. I was the youngest, so if I was small, they were really small, you know. He would come home after a 12-hour day, long after the sun had gone down, and clear out everything from our dining area and brought in wooden sawhorses to hold up 2 4-by-8 sheets of plywood, spread white felt over them, put synthetic snow all over them, make roads, lay the train, put down a collection of houses that had a light bulb in them. Little then was this big, you know, little for us is like this, little pin lights. But these were these huge lights, one inside of each house. So when you plugged them in, not just this magnificent tree that went up to the ceiling would light up. With real tinsel, the metallic kind, the kind where if you take it and put it across the railroad tracks, it makes sparks the way it's supposed to, you know. That kind of thing. And he would work. Who knows? I'll bet he didn't get more than an hour or two sleep by the time he was finished. Sometimes had to put toys together. This is how he spent his money. The money that he worked by working the way that he did. And we, little children, were we aware of this? Did we think, well, Santa Claus did it. Who cares who does it? You come down in the morning, and here is this incredible environment. It doesn't even look like your house. You had to put brick paper around the bottom so that you couldn't see the sawhorses. I mean, it was a magnificent display. They decorated the entire house with prey paper, twisted, and make the little things that go like this and put bells. My working class mother and father, they didn't have a lot of money. It was all they could do to have that house. And it's incredible. Now, the point is, we did not think of any of these things. We were little children. I mean, I'm 65 now. Now I'm thinking of it. All these years ago, my father died. You never heard me say these things. My brothers and sisters, they're not hearing me say them. But this was my father. then what happens? You grow up. You realize, as one of my daughters warned me, she noticed that one of my sons still held me in very high regard. And she turned to me and said, "Aren't you afraid that he's going to see your feet of clay?" Because she had long past that time. And that's what happens between fathers and children. When we're very small, they are these thunderous, magnificent beings. But as we grow up, we realize they're not gods. They're not even real fathers, the way fathers are meant to be. And then we lose faith. You know, we're always talking about losing faith in whether there really is a Santa Claus. There's this twerp that says he never believed in Santa Claus. Sort of, he's a boober, he's a beaver, something like that. You know, and that's not the problem. It's not believing in Santa Claus. It's not believing in what we experienced as our father when we were very small. Now, no father can do that. But they want to. Whether it's my father, rough-hewn, difficulty with the language because English was his second language. Pennsylvania Dutch was his first language. He learned English when he started going to first grade. He went to eighth grade. Didn't graduate from high school. But he had a heart. And he loved us incredibly, even though he never told us. And his children are not sure to this day. What was that? To have been his sons and daughters. One of the important things about being a father is that you can't do it. And you need to do it. You need to give everything you've got to it and do the very best you can, knowing that you will fail. Now, know that you will fail because you will fail. And part of your mission is to love by doing all you can, knowing that you can't help but fail. And then, when your children are grown, learn humility. Now, at each point along the way, you have a choice and you can go some other bad direction. But that's what you're meant to do. That's your role. That's your calling as a father. Why? Because we learn about what father means by having a father, or by needing a father, or by wanting a father. Someone has got to try and fail so that we can know that there is a true father and we need him. We need the true father. All of us, sons and daughters, desperately need the true father. God as our father. That's what we need in order to be the people that we are born to be. And that's why Jesus Christ is born in Bethlehem, as St. Paul says, so that the Spirit of the Son of God, the divine Son of God, so that His Spirit can be born in your heart and you can love the true Father, so that we can love the Father with the love of the divine Son, Jesus the Christ Himself. That's why He's born. And that Son of God, who began a new life, a human life, destroyed death so that we can be united to that Father, united to all of our brothers and sisters in the sonship of Christ. What do you think it means, in Christ? Who knows? Some esoteric hidden meaning. Let's see. Make up ideas. So that we can be at one with the Father in the sonship of Christ. So that we can be sons and daughters of the Most High as we desire to be, as we need to be. No human father can fulfill that, but He is the one who has the job of giving birth to the specific need for God the Father in our hearts. And maturity comes when we forgive Him for not having been able to fulfill the fact that God Himself is our true Father. But it's important not to lose faith in the fact that God the Father is real. And He loves us. And He loves us through the fathers and mothers of every one of us. All of that love that we have experienced has come from Him. That's something that we should know about this day, the celebration of the birth of the Son of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.